My name is Katrina Punzalan, and I'm 16 years old. Today is November 30th, 2019, and I'm speaking with Monica Punzalan, who's my sister. We're recording this interview in Beach Park, Illinois. Who was your biggest inspiration?
My biggest inspiration is Bettina Love, who is an author who writes on educating students of color, specifically Black and brown children, and she's so good because she's, instead of being anti-racist, she talks about people being co-conspirators and, like, using, instead of being, like, an ally, actually doing acts that puts your privilege at stake, like, and your, like, reputation at stake. And I think that's so amazing, and she's so inspirational. Like, I could literally listen to her talk for hours. She's just so good, so good.
So how have you heard of her?
I was taking a class on how to teach culture in the classroom, and we read one of, like, a little segment from one of her books. I actually don't remember what it's called.
Oh my god.
Something about, like, abolitionist teaching. And then I went to her talk at my school, the University of Minnesota. In order to go listen to her and hear more about her work.
Why were you taking a cultures in the community class?
So for the teacher preparation program that I'm in order to get my master's, we had to take a cultures in the community class, which is really good because I think it's really important to learn how to teach students of color and, like, how to make the stuff that you're teaching relevant to them, in order to be a more, to cater to diversity and promote inclusivity in your classroom. It's also really important to have a basis of, like, social justice and equity in your classroom as well. Yeah.
Why do you want to be a teacher?
Because I think that, well, in Minnesota specifically, only 3% of teachers in Minnesota are teachers of color. But over, I think, 60% of the students in Minnesota are students of color. Mm. And there is a huge disparity in that amount. And I think that when, like, a lot of the teachers are white and a lot of your students are, like, students of color, it's really hard for students to see their identities properly represented in, like, the people who are spending time with them, like, outside of their family. And because you spend, like, 8 hours a day in school, like, these students don't have role models who look like them and share those same identities. And so one of my favorite things, one of my favorite, like, educational, like, theorists or, like, authors or something, her name is Rudine Sims Bishop, and she talks about how in children's literature, but just, like, I guess in life in general, you need to have something, you should have windows, sliding glass doors and mirrors. Huh? So, like, when a student of color is able or, like, sees themselves in, like, a positive role model, that would give them a mirror so that they can see themselves in it as it. But when white students have a teacher of color, it acts as, like, a window so that they can understand different cultures and promote diverse thinking and to have different perspectives. And then when, also for students of color who have teachers of color, it provides them a sliding glass door because they're able to see different opportunities that they have in life and that they know that they can do things, especially given that there's, like, a huge opportunity gap between students of color and white students. And it's not, like, a achievement gap, which is what a lot of people say. It's an opportunity gap because they don't have the same privileges and advantages as white students.
Wait, that's actually really smart.
Thanks.
How are you going to use Bettina Love as an inspiration for teaching?
One of the things that Bettina talked about in her talk was how the Black Lives Matter movement has curriculum out to help you, like, teach about, like, Black lives and Black authors, like, in your class. One of the things, I, like, looked into it after that talk, but I realized that they don't really have a science curriculum. So I was thinking of, like, making my own. And, like, this has been something that I've been thinking about for, like, a really long time, incorporating social justice into my classroom. But one of the things that's, like, really big in biology where you can incorporate social justice is, like, in a genetics unit. And so one of the things that I really want to talk about is how race isn't biological, but it's sociological. And I think, like, doing an engage activity where students look at different people of different races and trying to categorize them as, like, if they're white or not, and then using that as a jumping point to talk about how the definition of white has been changed throughout time. Like, for example, like, Irish people and Italian people didn't used to be considered white.
I know.
And so then now they are considered white because they're European. And, like, how Middle Eastern people who don't look white, like, because skin tone, are still considered white because they're Caucasian. And, like, talking about that and talking about how genetically there's no such thing as race, and how skin tone is, like, polygenetic, due to polygenetic inheritance. And then talking about, like, advantages of, like, melanin depending on where you are, like, in the world and, like, your location, and how evolution has led to melanin as a evolutionary adaptation has been, like, a big thing. And also because Bettina Love is, like, a queer woman of color, like, I really want to, I've, like, thought about this before too, but doing something with, like, gender, talking about how, like, X and Y chromosomes don't necessarily lead to what your gender is, because a lot of people like to quote the idea of, like, oh, you can be XX or XY and that determines your sex and that's why your gender is the way that it is. But, like, there are people who are born with, like, Fragile X syndrome and, like, multiple X chromosomes or multiple Y chromosomes, and, like, that impacts your sex as well. And so, like, wouldn't that necessarily impact your gender? And, like, doing that, there's also, like, a book, like, Tango Makes Three, and using that to teach about how homosexuality is observed in so many different animal species and how they have a niche or a niche in ecology, and how they, like, take up adoption of, like, the children that heterosexual couples don't want. And, like, using my biology classroom as a way to focus on social justice, but not in, like, moving the biology concepts to fit social justice, but using social justice as the base and then fitting the biology concepts around that. Like, that is my biggest goal as a teacher.
And what do you hope your students will take away from that?
Well, I think it's really important that, because teachers spend so much time with their students, that I think, like, also teaching throughout time has, like, shifted. Like, the role of educators has shifted, where it's not just teaching about curriculum, but how to teach students to be critical thinkers, how to be, like, good people, people who are tolerant and who are, like, activists, especially, like, in this day and age, with more students identifying as a different gender, as a different sexuality, with white slowly becoming the minority in America, with more students becoming mixed or identifying as a person of color. Like, I think it's so important to raise students, or in this next generation, to be tolerant and accepting of all different types of people. And I hope that with these lessons, they can take away that not everything is what it seems, and they can critically think more about the facts that they are given and presented in society, because these things aren't biologically rooted, and they're more of, like, a systemic and sociological aspect to them.
Wow. Bye, Atif.